Happy New Year. Huh? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Oh, I didn't get it right. This is more like it, right? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, right. Okay. Sometimes I get confused, this one or this one, you know, because January the 1st, it started year 2014, but we have the joy of living in Asia and celebrating the Chinese Lunar New Year, which can occur anywhere between January the 21st to February 20th. And this year, we were January 31, right? And so here we go. What year are we living in? Well, some Chinese scholars say it's the year 4,651, since they've been keeping count this way. Others say it's 4,711. Some says it's 4,712. And I think the majority of people say we're since Chinese calculations of the lunar New Year system, 2 months of the first moon pass winter solstice, I think the way it goes, it's 4,712 times this has happened since they've been counting. That's pretty good counting. Well, whatever it is, we are celebrating in this city and throughout Asia the year of the horse. This year, 2014 of our Lord, is known as the year of the horse to many. Okay, kids, what comes to your mind when you think of a horse? Let me see. How many children have never seen a live horse? If you've never seen a live horse, can you raise your hand? You've yet to see a live horse? I mean, we've seen them on TV, right? We've seen them in the movies and stuff. Has anybody ever touched a horse, boys and girls? Have you ever touched a horse? Okay. So a few of us have even touched a horse. I see a few of my Philippine friends from the Philippines, they've touched horses. Well, a horse bit me in the Philippines. It was really funny. Everybody got a laugh out of that when it happened. But to make a long story short, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of horses, you know? Smells, fresh hay, or if you've ever mucked stables, not so fresh hay. I've been there and done that. Horse noises. Can anybody make horse noises for me? You know, those kind of horse. And then they're when they're walking, you know. You know, there's. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of horses, but most of the time, if you've ever seen a horse and really touched one, been up close to it, you'll think of a big, powerful animal. And horses are used throughout the world to do many things, and at one time they were very, very crucial to farming. And in some parts of the world, they're still used to help do farming work. My grandfather Buckner was known as a person who knew how to train work horses. And he would even breed horses with donkeys, and you come with mules and trade mules to plow fields. So work horses, but there's also this type of horse. Race horse, strong and fast, and this is the horse that most people are familiar with in this city. $15 billion U.S. dollars are gambled on horses in this one city. Today in Sha Tin, 100,000 people are going to gather to see a horse race, and about 1.5 billion Hong Kong will be wagered today. Horses, fast horses. So there's work horses, there's race horses, and there's this type of horse. How many know what type of horse this is, boys and girls? I know Pam is a rider, and she'll appreciate this. This is a dressage type of horse. I don't know if you call it a dressage horse, but it's a horse that's used in dressage, right? And in the hands and where a skillful rider has the reins of this type of horse, they will show you how well trained a horse can be. It's much more than running around in a circle real fast. It's very, very beautiful to watch. Very well-trained horses. But for most of us, this is kind of the horse we got started on, right? If you haven't had the joy of just going for a pleasure ride on a horse, I hope you have, can make that opportunity. And they have these places in Asia, and I think do they still offer the horse ride here in DB, or did they do away with that? They still got the horses here? Okay, but you can't ride them, but you can get in the buggy. But anyway, if you get a chance in the Philippines, they have horses you can ride in different places. I know Baguio used to have that in different places. You can go for a horse ride. Korea have horses to ride? Yep, I get the nod. They do. Okay. But also, throughout history, horses have been used in battle. They've been war machines, and they're also known quite simply as war horses. And through all cultures and different areas of the world, you will find these war horses. In World War I, horses were used, and even as late as World War II, war horses were around. The biblical view of horses? Well, it's primarily war horses. The Egyptians were the first to really promote horses in battle. And so you have horses and chariots, and you can see the archer there. They're going into battle. And this is the biblical view. There was one king. His name was King Joram. He was king of Israel, and the king of Judah at that time was Jehoshaphat. And Joram wanted help. We're going to go fight these guys, the bad guys, called the Moabites, and what I need is your help, and will you help me, King Jehoshaphat? And this is the way Jehoshaphat replied. He said, I will go with you. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. So in other words, my infantry and cavalry are yours. My foot soldiers and my horse soldiers are yours. So in summary, horses in the Bible refers to military might. And if you look at Chinese tradition and this whole thing about horses, they see horses as being what? As being powerful animals. Okay. Kids, do you recognize this guy? Does anybody recognize him? This is an artist rendition. They didn't have, this person didn't pose for this. This is someone's imagination. Any guesses? Pardon? King David? It's close. Who's the guy after King David?
Solomon.
King Solomon. Now, you know this guy, he could have had anything he wanted in the world. And he asked God for what? Wisdom. And bless his heart, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He needed a lot of wisdom. But to make a long story short, he also owned 12,000 horses. 12,000 horses. Now, I don't know too much about horse racing, but I think this guy from United Arab Emirates, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, he owns horse farms in England, in Kentucky, U.S. He raises and breeds the most wealthy horses. I don't know how many he has. I've heard of some ranches in Utah and Wyoming and out west in the United States. They have thousands of horses on their ranches. Some of them are what we call, what do you call those? Mustangs that run free. But Solomon had 12,000 horses. How much is 12,000 horses? Well, we could ride a horse, a different horse, every hour for 500 days. So I know Pam likes to ride. Anybody else like to ride out there? There's Elena. Can you imagine going from one horse to one horse to one horse to one horse? 500 days nonstop every hour. That's how many 12,000 horses were. So Solomon was blessed by the Lord. He's also known as perhaps the wealthiest man that's ever lived on planet Earth. King Solomon of the United Kingdom of Israel. There's several Bible stories that talk about horses. And one of my favorites is this one. Does any boy or girl know this one? Elizabeth. What's his? Elijah? Yeah, that's exactly right. So there have been two people's lives recorded in Scripture who do not face death, who do not die. And that is Enoch, and you can read his story in Genesis 5. He walked with God and he was no more. And then there's this man, the great prophet Elijah. And you can read about his kids. You get your mom and dad to go into 1st, 2nd Kings and read about Elijah, all that he did, how God used him. He had some weaknesses, but you know, he didn't die. He ended up riding a chariot of fire to heaven. And as he left, he dropped his mantle, his blessing, so that there'd be a prophet who followed him named Elisha. Now, Elisha sounds a lot like Elijah. What's the difference? E-L-I-S-A-N. Sha. Yeah. So there's a Jah and the Sha, the difference. So the J and the S, right? So you can kind of get those names mixed up, but they're two different distinct people. And I like this artist's rendition of Elisha. He's the guy standing on the ground catching the red thing, the mantle. What do you think I like that artist's rendition? His haircut, right? Yeah, he was bald, and you can read about his impactful youth ministry if you continue reading in 2 Kings 2. A great story about a horse drawing a chariot of fire and taking a prophet of God to glory. Other great stories of the Bible. How about this one? Girls, if you haven't read Esther to your, ladies, moms, if you haven't read Esther to your little girls yet, you got to do this, all right? But Esther and Uncle Mordecai, you remember this bad guy named Haman. He was seeking glory from King Xerxes, or Ahasuerus is his other name, and he, king of Persia. And he said, what should we do for a man who has done great things for the king and protected him? The king asked Haman this, and anyway, Haman says, oh, we should put him on a horse, parade him around the city, and everybody say, yay, yay, this is a great guy. And Haman was thinking it was going to be him being honored, but it wasn't. It was Mordecai the Jew who had prevented assassination plot against the king, and he rewarded him. A great story, riding a horse throughout the city and a grand celebration of a man of great respect. And you might remember Haman wanted to kill all the Jews, and Esther steps in and prevents that death for the Jews. Okay, this is for teenagers. Revelation 6, you can check that one out. It's of God using four different horses and how he's going to bring his wrath upon this earth. It's more of an adult theme, but it's in there about those horses. How many of you have seen the movie The Return of the King? Okay, I'm a big Tolkien fan. I like the books much better. But still, I watched every movie, and I went to see The Hobbit 2, and I'll go see The Hobbit 3 and all. But there's a king that's coming back, boys and girls. And that's King Jesus. And you can find that in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I'll read that to you a bit, okay? I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. See again, horses and war? It's the connection. His eyes are like blazing fire, not the horse, but the one riding the horse. And on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean, and coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who do you think that guy is, boys and girls? It's King Jesus. Now, he rode into Jerusalem once on a little donkey, and shortly thereafter, he went to the cross for you and me. And he was dead and buried, and he rose again from the dead, and he's ascended into heaven to where he sits and rules all existence. And he's coming again. And this is one artist's rendition of what that might look like. I saw some with a sword coming out of his mouth, you know, and all these crowns on his head. I don't know what that really means. But I think basically when God speaks, it's more powerful than a nuclear warhead. Jesus is coming again. Great stories of horses. Now, I don't have red packets for all you little boys and girls, okay? I'm sorry. Maybe if the elders will pay me more money, I could do that. But what I do have are two horse verses for you, okay? Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, as you go into this year of the horse, this year of 2014, what are you going to trust? Now, it's just natural if you're a smaller person, you're going to trust mom and dad. You're going to trust them. You know they're going to be there to help you if you have problems, big or small, they're there. But you know, sometimes mom and dad aren't there when you're being bullied at school. And sometimes mom and dad aren't there to give you a pat on the back when you've not made a good mark on your test. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but none of us are going to war, I hope, this year. I hope none of us have to be a soldier. But if you ever find yourself, young man or women, in the armed services, you will know that if you ever go into battle, that you're going to have to trust something more than your rifle and then your reflexes, or if you will, your airplane and your reflexes. You're going to have to trust who? We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We do not trust our financial standing at this moment. They could disappear. Now, there's rumblings in the air that 2014 is going to be a great financial collapse. I don't know. But we don't trust in that. Do we plan and do we invest wisely? Yes. But we do not trust in that. In our own congregation, we've had people die suddenly. So we can't trust in that you're going to have your husband around for the next 50 years to take care of you. We trust in the Lord. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, some of us are having spiritual battles and conflicts within. There are these sinful habits, sinful thoughts, behaviors that we cannot just seem to get victory over, and we fear those things, but we are going to stand in 2014 and trust the Lord to give us deliverance. It may involve having to ask friends to pray and be involved and have accountability partners and all that kind of stuff. It may involve getting medical help. But take heart, dear friend. Trust in the Lord, and He will deliver you from all your fears. You will find His goodness toward you is never ending. So that's why we gather here on Sunday, boys and girls, is to celebrate our Lord. We can trust Him. We trust Him with a whole lot, our very lives. Now, this is from Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11, and it's giving God's perspective on horses. Now, remember, He's the Creator God. He likes horses. I believe it. But His image is in who? Is in man and woman. That's how He made us. And in marriage, when we are united, we can best reflect the glory and the image of God. And if you're single, don't worry about it. You as a church... We as the church together in Christ are a marriage. And we reflect His glory. But His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse. I think God likes the horse, but His pleasure or His delight, what really makes Him joyful, is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of the warrior. Tomorrow morning, there'll be a great battle in New Jersey, East Rutherford. The Denver Broncos versus the Seattle Seahawks. And those of you who follow American football know that some of the running backs, and you watch them, they get that ball and they just hit all those big guys and somehow get through and score a touchdown, and all Americans go, yay. And we delight in our football teams. You know, I like the other football, the round one. We delight in our football teams. My colossal game is Monday night with Manchester City and Chelsea, you know. Going to delight in that stuff. Not God. No, God doesn't delight in that kind of stuff. He sees it. He's aware of it. I think there'll be something like sport in heaven. I don't know what it'll be. It'll probably be a better game than football. No doubt in that. But what the Lord delights in are in those. I'm going to get rid of those. The Lord delights in you. In me. When we fear him. Now, that means when I respect that life is not my own control. When I know that my life is in his control, when I understand that how things happen in the workplace, how things happen in the school, in the neighborhood, in the family, these are in God's control. When I fear him with such a fear, reverence, but look, I also love the way this psalm equates fearing with God by putting my hope in his unfailing love. Putting my hope in his unfailing love. This past week in our men's Bible readings, we have touched on Genesis. We finished Genesis, jumped into Exodus. But you know, Genesis ends with the story of Joseph. Now look, Joseph is sold by his brothers. And then he gets a good job working for Potiphar. Potiphar's wife accuses him of sexual abuse, which was nothing he did. He didn't do anything wrong. And then he had to go to jail. And then he's elevated, of course, really fast-track career advancement from being in jail to being the second powerful person in the land of Egypt. That's because he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. What we learn from that story is Joseph's words to his brothers, and he said, yeah, you guys meant it for bad, but you know God meant it for good. Hoping in his unfailing love. Some of you have gone through afflictions that I never will have to go through. And some of you are going through terrible afflictions right even as I talk. I can identify with some of them, but some of them I can't. But the sovereign God Almighty knows everything about you. You're precious in his sight. And he allows you to go through this. And he will deliver you from all your afflictions. Where is he going to deliver us to? Heaven. Heaven. He's not going to stop loving you no matter how tough life gets on this planet. He is going to take you and I to heaven to live forever and ever. If you watch most movies, particularly fantasy stories, the good guy most of the time always wins. And I didn't think it was until this postmodern era that we really began to have more and more movies where the bad guy wins or nobody wins. You know, it's this whole thing about, what do they call postmodern, where you deconstruct everything? Nothing makes sense, and so they just try to... So you see that expressed in our film. But for the before that postmodern era, when you looked at all your novels, all your movies, you always had the good guy won. You knew he's going to win, and he's going to come through. That's a reflection of the reality of what God wants hope to be in you. Victory in Christ Jesus. Victory over death and life. And this is why we exist as a church, is to proclaim this message and to live this message out. Yes, I enjoy Chinese New Year and all the food and the celebration cycle that's in this culture. And all cultures have them. I love that Indian culture, you know, where they were dancing. We all have our celebration cycles, and we all have families. But what happens? We all grow up and we do what? We die, all right? And then what's next? It's heaven, and it's joy in Christ forever and ever in His kingdom. That man who's going to come riding on the horse, the white horse with the crowns and the sword and all that, I don't understand it, but he's going to come back for you and me. And so no matter what 2014 throws at you and throws at me this year of the horse, I can do what? I can trust in Him. I can fear Him. And I can hope in His unfailing love. So that's basically the application. Trust God, fear Him, hope in His unfailing love as the year 2014, this year of the horse, begins. Boys and girls, you know that one of the ways we celebrate this hope, this God in whom we trust, is on this first Sunday of the month, we celebrate what we call the Lord's table, the sacrament of the Lord's table. Some of us know it as the ordinance of the Lord's table. It's the bread and the wine. And in just a minute, I want to invite all of us who have come to faith in Christ Jesus. We're not trusting any other way to relate to Father God, but only through Christ. We welcome you to this table. Could I ask the elders to come down and help me prepare? As they come down, let me lead us in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the beauty of horses, and I thank you for the beauty of Chinese New Year and celebrating this year of the horse. But we know what we really trust in, Lord, is not even strong animals or stuff like that, or anything else other than you. And so I pray for me, and I pray for my family, and I pray for the DBICC family and friends, that we will be a people who experience the goodness of the Lord, that yes, He is the one who delivers us. He is the one in whom we hope. Father God, you see the sufferings of your people here this morning. Whether it's economic hardship, emotional hardship, and some of us we cry a lot of tears, Lord, but I thank you for the hope that you tell us that one day you're going to wipe away all our tears. There'll be no more death, crying, sorrow. So bring comfort to my friends that are hurt right now. And as they take of the bread and the wine, may they say, yes, Christ will come. I will see Him in His glory, and you'll be riding a horse. I don't know, understand all that, Lord, but I thank you for your promise to come again. And together, as we take of this table, we stake our life on you, Lord, a life we didn't live and a death we didn't die, our whole eternity we celebrate is in you, and we trust you. So be pleased as we eat the bread and drink the wine. In Christ's name, amen. The scriptures tell us that before we partake of the Lord's table, we should examine ourselves. In Corinthians, people were taking the elements of the sacrament in an unworthy manner. And it would appear from the context that the unworthy matter is they didn't examine the body of Christ, the whole. And as you examine your own heart, I would encourage you, if there's sin there that you've been trying to hide from God, you know you can't hide from Him, right? Just tell Him about it and say, forgive me. And Christ promises to forgive us of all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we ask for forgiveness. But at the same time, I want you to look around at the body, examine us, you know. We are all sinners saved by grace. When we come to this table, it's not because some of us have been believers for a longer period, or some of us serve in the church, or some of us are elders, or pastor, or whatever. No, 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 no. We're all saved sinners. We're all part of the family of God. So examine yourself before you eat or drink, and make sure you don't come in an unworthy manner. Let's just have a quiet moment where we examine our own hearts, and then we'll get going. Lord, we do rejoice that you're the one who hears us when we confess our sins, and some of them are pretty specific, and you've heard your people. And I even ask myself, am I trusting something other than you? We can't trust the church, we can't trust family, we can't trust our work. What do we really trust, Lord? Do I trust you? Thank you for cleansing us by your blood. Now bless us as we remember you. In Christ's name, amen. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. And every time you eat of this, do so in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup, and having blessed it, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood poured out for the remission of sins." You can't take away sins other than through a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This is what makes us clean. Christ's life, his blood, given for you, poured out for you. Again, if this is your first time to celebrate the Lord's table with us as a church family, we're open arms. If you believe that Christ died for you and that his goodness is yours through faith, you're welcome to this table. Moms and dads, if your children have yet to profess a personal faith in Christ, we'd ask that you would not let them receive the element. But we do encourage you to bring them down with you and walk through. And then you can tell them more about, yeah, this is what this is all about, is Jesus came to earth and he died. And he told us to do this in remembrance of him. Because he's going to come back, and one day we're going to celebrate with him again in heaven at a great feast. But he said, this will help you remember me. It's all about me. It's not about what you do. It's what I have done on the cross. This is what you're trusting to get from planet Earth to heaven. This is what you're trusting to get you through the afflictions 2014. If you'll come down on your right, the elders will be here and we'll distribute the elements to you. The school likes us to take the elements down front and not in our seats. And if you need a few minutes to stand over to the side to pray as you take your elements, that's fine. And then just exit back up where little David's coming down here on your left. And go back to your seats. So I think we're